part of the Mindanao would say that because of the resistance. So that is another way of preserving the pre-colonial. So they resist the influence of the foreign invaders.
Happy morning! You are listening to One Shot Literature with Miss A, feeding your mind, your heart, and your soul. Miss A is your host for this episode.
Today, we are going to talk about the development of literature from pre-colonial to contemporary period. And I'm very excited to unravel this topic because today we have our special guest whom I consider as an expert in teaching literature. She is no other than Miss Elizabeth A. Soriano. So happy morning, Ma'am Beth.
Happy morning to Miss A. So it's nice to be your guest for your today's podcast.
So welcome to One Shot Literature. Now, for the first question, for the knowledge of our listeners who do not have the chance to meet you in person, can you give us some background?
Okay. So Ma'am Beth is a senior high school teacher and a former college instructor. So before I apply for a senior high school position, I taught literature in the university for almost 5 years. So I have taught literature as a subject, as a specialization for college students taking up education courses majoring English. And of course, I also handled literature as a means for social transformation because I believe literature is a tool. It's a tool for transforming society through understanding slices of lives reflected on those literary pieces.
Thank you. Now, let's move on. So, we all know that literature undergoes through a lot of transformations from pre-colonial period to contemporary. So, if our students were living during the pre-colonial times, what could be the face of our literature?
Okay. So, whenever we talk about literary development, we always start from the pre-colonial. Many would say that literature started from the time Spanish occupied the country. But in fact, before Spanish came to the country, we already had our literature, and many would say that the literature of the pre-colonial time would be considered the original Filipino literature with no influence from the outside culture. So probably if our students would be living on that day, they would probably listening to the chants of the Babaylans. So Babaylans, as we all know, are the pre-colonial counterpart of the priests that we had today. They also partake on adventures with different epic heroes. So epic is one literary form existed during the pre-colonial that talks about the stories of the different heroes. And the most popular among all the epics that we have would be epic of Lam-ang from the Ilocos region. Another thing or another literary form that is or that existed during that time, of course, would be the songs. So probably our students were singing war and ritual songs. They would compete on riddles and take lessons on proverbs. Our literature during that time reflects the simplicity of the everyday life of the early Filipinos, and the main purpose of the literature during the pre-colonial is for socialization. So they were also attempts to describe and explain origins through legends and establish a connection to our gods and goddesses through myth. So meaning during the pre-colonial times, Filipinos or early Filipinos have started explaining the creations and existence of everything they had. So many would say that legend is one of the earliest form of science, and that was reflected through the literature of the pre-colonial times.
Okay, those are things that we learned during the pre-colonial times, and I think we could realize that we have already a rich culture before the colonizers came in our country, because we already have our literary works.
Yes, that's correct, Miss A. And many would say that how come this pre-colonial literature is still existing up to this day, and probably they would ask what would be the reason why the present Filipinos know about them. So if you remember, so there are many cases where in literature were put into isolation. So meaning, dahil isolated sila, hindi sila masyadong naapektuhan ng mga influensa, ng mga mga sumunod ng mga pananakop. So na-maintain or na-retain yung literature nila. Sila yung mga literatura na nabuo sa mga kabundukan, sa mga malayong lugar sa Pilipinas.
Siguro okay, yun so yung advantage po ng pagiging maraming pulo. Kaya
yes, definitely.
May maraming na-preserve talaga.
Yes, yeah. And of course, some part of the Mindanao would say that because of the resistance, so that is another way of preserving the pre-colonial. So they resist the influence of the foreign invaders. So that's the reason that the pre-colonial literature, some of them still preserve to this moment, at this time.
Okay, thank you. Next, during the Spanish colonization in 1566 to 1898, our literature was influenced by their culture, religion, and values. So if our students would have the chance to live during that time, during the Spanish colonization, what could be the major contributions of the Spaniards in our literature?
Okay, so there are lots of transformations happened during the time of Spanish colonization, because as we all know, almost 333 years of invasion in the Philippines, and from literature of the legends or literature about the myths of gods and goddesses, so everything shifts into the belief of one god. So from paganism, so we had the Christianism, and as we all know, that's one of the contributions of the Spaniards in the Philippines. So during that time, we can divide the period into two. So the first period of Spanish or literature during the Spanish period would be the period of morality and religion, and the other part is the literature of protest. So let's move on first to the literature of morality and religion. So in the first part of the Spanish colonization, as we all know, because they are introducing Christianity, so literature focuses on themes like Christian teachings and values. They create literature as tool to teach. So they call it didactic literature. So before, we have epic, wherein heroes can be known. The counterpart of the epic in the Spanish colonization would be passion. And the counterpart hero for passion is Jesus Christ. So before, we have our chants and ritual song, but during the Spanish colonization, they were turned into prayers and mga oracion. And then, of course, the first book was ever printed during the Spanish colonization. So that is one breakthrough. So the first printed book, which is the Doctrina Christiana. And then the legend that the stories about the gods and goddesses were turned into buhay. So buhay is a literary form that discusses the life of the saints. Wow. And then new forms of literature also emerged during that time. We had our Awit, and we have also the Corrido. So if our listeners are familiar with Lorante et Laura and Ibo Adarna, so these two literary forms are written in Awit and Corrido structure, wherein characters are riding in horses. We have our castle, the characters are mga princess and prince. So all those are influence of the Spanish colonization. And another thing about literature is the drama. So drama is very rich during this period. So we have our Sinacolo. So that's the drama counterpart of the Pasyon. We also have our Moro-Moro, Zarzuela, and then other religious enactment or plays or dramatization. Just like Panunuluyan, Salubong, Pangaluluwa, Kusana, Ibag, and even Santa Cruz. So
some of them are still present.
Yeah. So if our listeners, especially the Catholic ones, so they are they know about the Hosanna, Pangaluluwa, and Santa Cruz. Those are okay. So that would be the first part of the literature during the Spanish period. Now the second part of literature would be the period wherein Filipinos started to protest. And that they call as literature of protest. So what do they protest? Of course, the abuses of the church and the state, particularly the friars. So meaning, this is that time where nationalists, reformists, propagandists, and even revolutionist writers were born. And they have created different literary works that expresses their disappointments toward the church and the government of the Spaniards. And as we all know, the heroes, Jose Rizal, Anal Andres Bonifacio, Mariano Ponce, and others were to be the heroes during that time. So that would be the literature during the second period of the Spanish colonization.
Wow, I know our listeners are learning so much from you, ma'am. Next, let's move on. So here comes the Japanese. Ang alam lang po kasi ng mga bata pag sinabing Japanese period ay haiku lang. Haiku lang ang natatandaan nila. But since we are talking about literature when we study literature, we cannot set aside our history, our culture. So our students probably do not know so much about the Japanese period. Could you describe to us, ma'am, what happened during that time and how do those things affect our literature?
Okay, definitely, I agree when you say that haiku. Whenever they heard the Japanese literature, the first thing that they thought of is about haiku. Because Japanese literature or Japanese invasion in the Philippines, as we all know, is short-lived. So parang tatlong taon, okay, to 4 years lang sila nag-stay in the Philippines. And we all know that the length of the time affects the type of literary works produced during that time. Okay, so during the day, what happened to our literature? So since we came from Spanish literature, all of them were banned during Japanese colonization. Siyempre, Hapon sila, so they don't know about the Spanish language. So the only thing that they are allowed to write is are those literature written in Tagalog. So meaning, ng Japanese period, Tagalog was given a break. All the Tagalog literature. The Japanese language, which is Nipongo, were introduced, pero hindi sila masyado in-embrace ng mga Filipinos. So in terms of literary themes, so ano ba yung mga isinusulat ng mga Pilipino during that time? So the themes were about the country, ng simple life in the barrio, tapos yun nga yung nature, which is reflected sa ating haiku or tanka or tanaga, faith, yung ating religion, and the arts. So, haiku and the tanka or tanaga, so are the two new forms of poetry emerged during this time. So, those are examples of short poetry. But definitely, there are some famous Filipino writers who became popular. And these Filipino writers wrote literary pieces using the Tagalog. So if you're familiar with some of them were Benito Santos, Manuel Ardila, Marcelo Agana, and Nick Joaquin. So those are some of the writers during the Japanese period. So maikli lang talaga sila. Hindi ganun pa ano yung impact sa ating literature.
Right, so ang Filipino language were given highlight during the Japanese period.
The Japanese. So parang talagang nag-boom yung mga literature na nakasulat sa Tagalog during that time.
Okay. So maybe the good side about the Japanese period is that we learn to embrace or to love our country, to love our language also. Maybe that's the positive side of that.
That's part one of our episode. Keep tuning in to One Shot Literature with Miss A, filling your mind, your heart, and your soul.